So this month has been on Grace Awakening. Grace Awakening. And tonight I want you to imagine this hypothetical scenario. Alright, let's just imagine this. You have a wife of 20 years that you love very much. You've married her for 20 years. She's loyal to you and you're loyal to her. You work hard every single day to provide for your wife. You've got children with her. And on the side, a neighbor of yours has been stalking this wife. As far as we're going out to her in lust, alright? And he seduces her to commit adultery. And so she comes up pregnant. And he comes to find out that you're not the father of the child. But that neighbor is the father of the child. The tests show. You're enraged, and you try to get vengeance on that neighbor of yours. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight, this is exactly what happened in the account of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11. How many here know the account of David and Bathsheba? Alright, there was war going on between Israel and the Ammonites, but I'm not giving you an opening here. And David, the king of Israel, was atop of his palace. And he looked down and he saw a woman bathing. And his heart in lust was attracted to her. So he sent a messenger to her, messengers, so that she would come to him. And he said to the word of God that he lay with her. He was sexually intimate with her. And she sent word back to David that she was pregnant with his child. So David committed a great sin in the sight of God. David knew that Bathsheba's wife, Uriah, would be upset if he found out about this. So he tried to encourage Uriah to go back home with his wife, to spend time with his wife, to sleep with his wife, to make it seem that Uriah would be the father of this child. But Uriah, in his loyalty to King David, would not do such a thing. He said, you know, why should I go and eat and drink with my wife and lie with her while Israel is in a state of war? So in loyalty to David, Uriah stayed right there at the palace. And so David was frustrated. I believe that the devil was speaking into David's ear and came up with a plan. And he sent word to Joab and said, put Uriah on the front lines where the fighting is fiercest. And Joab did exactly this. He put Uriah on the front lines and Uriah was killed. And so in 2 Samuel 11, the last verse, verse 27, the thing David had done displeased the Lord. So then God sends Nathan the prophet to David. Nathan says this, he gives him a scenario. He says, David, there were two men in a certain town. One was rich, the other was poor. The rich man had many cows and sheep. The poor man just had one little lamb. A traveler came by. And the rich man, instead of taking one of his own sheep to feed the traveler, took the sheep of the poor man and said to him, 2 Samuel 12:5, that David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. And in verse 7, Nathan, he gets David, says this, he says, you are the man. You are this man, David. You have committed a great sin against Uriah. Ultimately, you have sinned against the Lord of hosts. So David committed a great sin. How many would agree? David was the man. And in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 12, it says this. Nathan replied. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. Now David knew he committed a great sin, right? A great wrong against Uriah. He knew he committed great sin against the Almighty God. Humanly speaking, it's difficult to forget this kind of offense. Would you agree with me? But David says, I just read 1 Samuel 12, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, the Lord has taken your sin away. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you may be in David's place here tonight. You may have lived a life of sin, incredible sin. Sin that nobody else would want to know about. Maybe you're living a life of sin in the here and now. I don't know what your
sin is.
Only you and God knows what that sin is. Maybe you're living in fornication. Maybe you're sleeping with somebody who is not your spouse every night. Maybe you're shooting up drugs and you're getting high all the time. You know, maybe you're getting drunk where you can never think straight. Maybe you can go into fortune tellers concerning your future. Maybe you cuss all the time using four-letter words. Maybe you're committing adultery with somebody right now in your life. So maybe you're in the stead of David, king of Israel, tonight. Maybe you feel like David right now. And so you know that if you're living in the state of sin, you're doing others wrong. Ultimately, you are doing the Almighty God wrong. But we serve a God of grace. And that's the good news here tonight. That we sin, and you might be sinning, but we serve a God of grace. That is good news, right? All right, I'm going to read you a book here. It's starting C.S. Lewis, Great Christian Life. It says this. At a British conference on comparative religions, experts were discussing whether any one belief was unique to Christian faith. The debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis entered the room. When Lewis inquired what all the fuss was about, he told that the topic was Christianity's unique contribution among world religion. Lewis is said to have responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace. Grace, the grace of God." What is the grace of God? I've heard of it this way. Mercy, the mercy of God, mercy is not getting what one deserves. And as sinners, we deserve what we deserve, punishment, right? What is grace on the other hand? Grace is getting what's something that somebody does not deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is getting a benefit that you and I don't deserve. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. What is that thing that we get that we don't deserve? It's the forgiveness of Almighty God. Does that make sense here tonight? Alright. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives a day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy, that is a prize. When a person receives recognition for his achievement, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor, right? A.W. Tozer says this, grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. Say with me, grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's getting a good thing that I don't deserve. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now David sinned against God. He sinned against Uriah. But the grace of God was showered upon the life of David. God forgave him. Nathan the prophet said, God has taken away your sin. His life was spared. I'm sure that David and Bathsheba and Uriah's family was enraged with David. It was hard for them to forgive King David. Who knows? Only God knows. The Word of God says this about that. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, Paul the Apostle writes this. He says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, when you work 8 hours a day, your boss pays you what? He pays you a wage. He pays you a wage. Guess what? Sin also pays a wage. Sin pays a wage. If you're living and dying in sin, it pays the wage of eternal separation from the Almighty God. Eternal death. Sin pays the wage of eternal separation from God. I can't imagine being separated from God for a moment in time, let alone eternity. But that is the wage that sin pays, is eternal death. But God is gracious, just as God in His grace took away David's life, He wants to do the same for you tonight. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to forgive your sin and spare your life eternally. Is that good news? Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Paul writes. He writes a lot of verses. He says this. He says, in Jesus we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's getting a good thing I don't really deserve. And friends, I'm here to tell you again tonight, I'm going to repeat it, that good thing is forgiveness. God wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to spare your life eternally. But God is looking for something in you and in me. It's a quality that David had in 2 Samuel 12. What is that thing that God is looking for in us? What did David say? What did David say in 2 Samuel 12? Got a Bible? You can turn back here. If not, I'll read it to you. What did he say? 2 Samuel 12, 13, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. David had one kind of thought. David the king had a repentant heart. That's what God is looking for in you and me. You may have sinned. You may have done some terrible things in your past. You may be sinning in your life right now. But what is God looking for in order to shower His grace of forgiveness upon your life? He is looking for a repentant heart. Let me ask you this tonight, friends. What is repentance? What is repentance? Anybody have any idea? In the audience. What is repentance? Repentance literally means to change your mind. And when you change your mind, you change your actions. You might have been going one way, you might have been thinking one way, the world's way, the devil's way, but repentance is changing your mind and starting to think God's way. You might have been living the devil's way and the world's way, but repentance is changing your actions and living God's way. Does that make any sense here tonight? So we need to have a repentant heart before the Almighty God. And it's when David had this repentant heart and said, I have sinned against the Lord, that Nathan said what? The Lord has taken away your sin. God wants us to repent. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now. God wants to shower His grace upon your life. You may be living in fornication right now, sleeping with somebody who is not your spouse. You may be shooting up drugs. You may be committing adultery. But all you have to do is repent and say, God, I change my mind from going my way. Tonight, I want to start going your way. Does that make any sense here? God is looking for a change of heart and a change of your actions. A repentance heart. And He's looking for us to place faith in Jesus Christ. In order for the grace of God to be manifest in your life, to be showered upon your life, in order for the unmerited favor of God to be made real in your life, God is looking for repentance. Does that make any sense here tonight? He's looking for a change of mind and a change of action. God, I've been sleeping with somebody who's not my wife, but I'm going to stop doing that. God, I've been shooting up drugs, but I'm going to start taking classes to try to stop shooting up drugs. God, I've been getting drunk on wine, but I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to go a different way and not get drunk anymore. Take classes of habits. God, I've been going to fortune tellers, trying to find out what my future holds, but God, I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to start going to your Holy Spirit to consult me about my future. Is that making sense here tonight? Is that good? God, I've been using four-letter words, cussing up and down and all around, but God, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my actions starting tonight. I'm going to start going your way. I'm going to place my life, my faith, in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Trusting Christ, making Him your Savior and your Lord. There is no sin that you committed or are committing that God cannot forgive. Looking for one thing. A repentant heart, faith in Jesus Christ. Is that any sense here tonight? Alright. Don't let your past sins hold you back. You know, I'm sure that David, with that chief concerning that incident, had regrets concerning his adultery. But it's the devil's trick. Remember this. It's the devil's trick to keep bringing up your past. So you say something year after year after year. Anybody ever been there? Where you've conquered a sin, and you're not sinning anymore, but the devil keeps whispering it into your spirit. Remember when you fornicated. Remember when you committed adultery. Remember when you used to get high. Remember when you cussed. Remember when you did that person really wrong. The devil tries to whisper that into your ear. How do you respond? You respond with the word of Almighty God. The devil wants to whisper that into your ear to keep you stuck, but God has got greater things for you ahead. Let the past stay in the past, and let's go forward with a greater thing that God has for you. Start seeing yourself. Yes, you did. How do you start going forward? How do you forget the past and leave it in the past? How do you start going forward? By doing what? By starting to see yourself as God sees you. How does God see you concerning your sinful past? God sees you as forgiven. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord at that point, all the sins you committed up until the point that you accepted Jesus as Savior were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were washed away into the sea of forgetfulness. God saw you as a brand new slate. And friends, you've got to start seeing yourself that way as a brand new slate. Say with me tonight, I've got to start seeing myself as God sees me, forgiven, because I don't want to remain in my past. I want to go forward with a better thing that God has for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen to this. It's the devil that does. You've heard it before, but it bears repeating. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but could never hit a target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back to dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just at an impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the dead duck in a wood pile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." She whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dish. Later that day, Grandma asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally's mama said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed at home. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know you see I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would have sat to make a slave of you." Come for the day and every day thereafter. Whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, death, fear, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window, and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you, and if you are forgiven, he's just wondering how long you let the devil make a slave of you. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Therefore, if any man is in Christ anymore, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are a brand new creation. The old is gone from the mind of God, from the memory of God. And the new has come. You are a brand new slave in Jesus Christ. And don't let the devil make a slave of you any longer. Is that good news here tonight? So how you start going forward is you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. Forgive it. His grace being showered upon your life. Number two, you've got to start quoting the word to the devil. If the there's one thing that makes the devil run, it is the written word of God. So when the devil tries to whisper into your ear, remember when you did this, or you said that, or you did that, just quote. Saying, I'm here to tell you tonight, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You just tell the whole devil, there is therefore no condemnation, no guilt to me, because I am in Christ Jesus. Is that good news? Now, one final thing. The devil sees you clothed in the blood of Jesus. And because you have the blood of Jesus upon your life, guess what? He sees you as a person of authority. He sees it. But he wants you to think that he doesn't see it. Think of it this way. A police officer, he's on duty. He's on duty, right? He's not wearing his guard. You don't see the authority, right? He's just any ordinary person walking the road, right? He's a police officer. He's off duty. He's not wearing his uniform. You see him as any ordinary person, right? But if you see that same man the next day walking the streets with his police guard, guess what? Your antennas go up, right? And you think, uh-oh, this is a man of authority. I need to walk a straight line around this man, right? Because a police officer is a man of authority. Guess what? Guess what? The devil, every minute of your day, sees you clothed with the blood of Jesus. He sees that authority that you have. He knows that when you open your mouth and will the word of God, that he is not to believe. Never forget, you are clothed with the blood of Jesus. Amen? Is that good news? And that gives you authority in Christ Jesus. So when the devil tries to speak into your ear and say, you know what, you abuse that lady in the mask, you abuse the lady in the mask, you'll never get married, you just quote it. You just say, you know what, I am justified, just as if I had never sinned. By faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going forward in this area of my life. God has somebody for me. You made a shoplifter in the mask, and he's trying to whisper into your ear, you know, you shoplifted, you stole the mask, you'll never be able to get a job at Target or in Walmart or in this place because of what you've done in the last batch. You just quote the word of God and say, I am justified by faith in Christ, just as if I had never shoplifted. I am going forward in this area of my life. Remember, you are clothed with the blood of Jesus. You are a brand creation in Christ. When he sees you, he sees a person of authority. When you open your mouth with the word of God in your mouth, he is God's to flee. Is that good news here tonight? In Jesus' name. Remember, grace is the unmerited favor of God, the forgiveness of God showered upon your life by repentance and faith in Christ. Alright? And don't let your past hold you back. God has got something wonderful, wonderful for you in your future.